Hello and welcome to Take Off the Podcast, Stories by Students and Classics. This is episode 77, featuring a story written, performed and produced by my student in a reading and writing skills course at the University of Page. His name, Eliash Zoltán.
Walking home on a cool, silent night can be an enlightening occasion. Or distressing. A lonely lamp post erected on the side of the street cast a sickly dim light across the pavement. No other street lamp works. They either flicker or are already broken. Even the cool breeze drags its feet as it bumps into a juvenile man. Walking quickly, he stands under the light, positioning himself in the middle, breathing heavily.
At least, I'm out of the darkness.
He whispers to himself and shifts his eyes on the large light bulb. His fear of the pitch-black void was greater than his common sense, for he did not know in the darkness resides emptiness, while the light illuminates the abominations. He is petrified by the blinding light. Staring blindly into space, his back is slumped to a white slippery wall that is gently humming. Slowly regaining his senses, he picks himself up from the floor. Confused, he glances around himself and squats down to analyze his surroundings. Again, he is deaf to sounds, blind to sights, and numb everywhere.
"Look at that, we got another one over there,"
said a voice close to the ground. Looking down, he sees a man lying on his side, absolutely unfazed by the circumstances. Letting the cold blue eyes wander around while he scratches his mutton chops. As their eyes meet, he grins and with his own sense of humor, waves his hands frenetically, rattling his chains. "Where am I?
Who am I?
Who are you?
Who are you?"
he asks genuinely. But the lazy man repeats his words like a parrot. He turns on his back and sighs, snickering under his nose.
"Don't ask me, kid. I'm being transported to high security in a prison convoy, and for some reason I thought it would be real nice to blink. That's how I'm here."
"What is your name?"
"Right back at you, kid."
"I asked first. Be polite."
"Let me guess. You don't remember."
"What? I remember my name."
"Then what is it?"
It's...
"I don't care!"
shouts another person from the corner of the room. With frustration, he clenches his hands into fists and smacks the ground in front of him. Shaking with fear and anger, his long blonde hair collapses, falls on his face.
"We're going to die here. We don't have time for this."
"Shut up.
No one listens to me. We're going to die."
"Please, calm down, sir. I'm listening."
"You're listening now.
But you won't be later," he utters sadly and touches the ground with his forehead. In an unreal fashion, it lets out a hissing sound, as if cold water was poured in a hot frying pan.
He's kneeling in water.
No.
There's no liquid there.
What is this place?
While thinking, the newcomer turns around, looking for an exit. A great archway beacons as their salvation. No obstacle stands in their way. He wonders, why didn't they leave?
"Why not just walk out? We don't seem to be trapped."
"Looks can be deceiving," he murmurs, with his forehead squeezed to the ground. Cautiously, he takes a step toward the exit, and another. Getting closer, his heart beats faster and faster. He takes a deep breath.
"Come on, kid. Be my guest,"
says the fellow prisoner, supporting his attempt. As he takes a jump start, he feels a pull on his wrist and neck, like someone is grasping his throat. With a metallic bang, a set of chains manifest themselves around him. The heavy shackles deny his escape.
"So close, so close. You want a Cuban or a Cayman?"
claps the unconcerned prisoner and offers an imaginary cigar to the victor. Go to hell. A try is a try.
Like we were just sitting around waiting for you. Well, except for Daddy the Dearest. He was just sitting there.
Tilting his head quickly towards the gray spot in the middle of the white room, he pointed out a sad man, cradling a child wrapped tightly into half-white, half-furred cloth. He was locked away in his little world. With tearful eyes, he lifts his head and seems surprised that a new guest is present. With a sincere voice, he asks for a favor.
Excuse me, do you have some spare food? My little girl might get hungry after her nap.
I had a ham sandwich, but that was inside my backpack. I don't know where it is.
I know. It's behind you.
Oh. Thank you.
Anytime, anytime. We got all the time in the world now.
He hushes the newcomer and continues to stare at the ceiling, contemplating if they are sinking or the roof is raising itself. Scavenging for his last sandwich, he throws all of his books. One slice of the one with the fever. If only we would be in a library. If only I could smell the fresh fragrance of a newly backbroken book.
Yet I am here waiting to die. Why the hell can't you die quietly?
He asks, starting an argument. Two of the old prisoners fling insults at each other. The frustrated one tears the book apart. Through the heated argument, the young man passes his sandwich with an elegant throw.
Thank you kindly. He nods, putting the sandwich away.
What's her name?
Emily. My little Emily. Little Sunshine is sleeping, aren't you?
What's your name, sir, if I may ask?
I have no idea. Doesn't matter anyway. Emily is safe. A father's duty is to protect his loved ones. With a straight look, he dwells into the vision of the newcomer and shakes his head. He opens his mouth. However, he withdraws his breath and chooses not to talk. Focusing on his child, he smiles as tears well up in his weary eyes as the other two prisoners are at each other's throat.
Is something wrong?
Everything is.
I fear that Emily will grow up here. How long have you been here?
For 2 days, I think. My watch doesn't work.
And the others?
Emily and me, we came before you, but not before them.
I see. Well, I hope we'll figure out how to get out of here.
He squats down again, forming ideas about how to escape this bright jailhouse.
Don't you want to sleep, kiddo?
Sleep? Time works differently here. Hours can pass in instants. Is Emily awake?
Emily? Who are you talking about?
The little girl? She is no more. Deceased.
What?
He falls back in shock. The man was still cradling the child. Dead on arrival. Look at that cloth. It was all white.
You mean that the bottom red part is...
Yep. She lost enough blood to die.
He answers nonchalantly and starts to pick his teeth. Obsessing over his long-gone infant, the father non-stop embraces the presence of his only loved one. Eating the corpse may help us survive.
You're sick. No way. Same opinion, kiddo.
Either way, we're going to die. Why should he cling to that sentimental urge?
Because that makes him a better person than you.
Insolent criminal.
Say what you want. I'm not eating dead babies.
Same here. I knew you wouldn't heed my words.
You win, Mr. Damus.
Not bad, kid.
Showing thumbs up, he congratulates. The father looks up and forms the words, thank you. For added fright, the cloth moves. A little hand is reaching for the beard of the father. Everyone's eye widens as the meek sneeze echoes in the room. There, there, Emily. Please. Eat this. He unwraps the sandwich and starts giving little bits to the girl.
Can somebody tell me how is she alive? I don't know. Still wanna eat her?
He lifts his eyebrows, but he got no answer. The baby girl gobbles down pieces of the sandwich.
Why are we here? We have nothing in common.
First I thought we are here because of our fears. Mine is darkness. The bookworm fears death. The father is afraid he'll lose him. But what about the skull? It doesn't seem to fear anything.
Would you look at that?
Do you have a family?
He does not deserve a family or a place in society.
I didn't ask you.
Although he's right, I'm just saving my own hide.
You said you were in a prison convoy being transported. What were you in for?
Armed assault and kidnapping.
Kidnapping?
I was hired by the kidnappers.
Liar! Nobody wants that.
You never met neglected children before, have you?
Forget about him. So you got hired?
Yep. By twins. They wanted to know how much their parents loved them. And it was the water park.
You kidnapped two kids and held them for ransom at a water park?
Of course not. I took them to the warehouse, tied them up and shoved them in a container.
He shrugs his shoulders. As they were sitting down, they noticed that the father and Emily were gone. Looking at each other, they just repeatedly shook their heads. Dead or alive, they were not bound to that place anymore.
I'll be straight and say that I have a hunch.
About what? What is it?
Gentlemen, this is purgatory.
Nonsense. We cannot be already dead. Keep quiet. Okay, if you're right, then what?
I say purgatory is the place for the troubled souls who cannot cope with their guilt or the fact that they are dead.
Wait, how would you know something like that?
Who said I cannot like theology or philosophy or whatever you call this?
Let's call it hunch. So if your hunch is true and your knowledge of hunch is true, then what?
We have to wait till they find us and redeem us.
I assume then that he redeemed them. With a sandwich?
Maybe. Seems like a load, but it worked.
He closes his eyes and lays back. With a puzzled look on their faces, it was set. Without the sense of pain or the need to consume food, they spend their time aimlessly, silently, between the great white humming walls.
You've been listening to Ilya Zolotan's story called Afterlife Pleasantries, written, performed, and produced by the author. Music composed by the author.